many parts of the world is outpouring of supports for human rights, for democracy, and against autocratic rule.
Encouragement for Democracy. It's Tuesday, January 18th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Visit us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, fighting back against COVID, virus success and challenges down under, U.S. focus on Tibet, the business of Asian cuisine and fashion, new tech on display. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Despite a series of military coups and opposition crackdowns in dozens of countries, there are encouraging signs of democratic uprisings around the world. That's according to the latest annual report from the organization Human Rights Watch. Henry Ridgewell reports from London.
In Myanmar, the military last February ousted the democratically elected government, jailing the president Win Myint and state councillor Aung San Suu Kyi. In Nicaragua, opposition members were jailed on treason charges ahead of the November election as President Daniel Ortega consolidated power. In Uganda, President Yoweri Museveni was re-elected in January 2021 after security forces arrested and beat opposition supporters and journalists, killed protesters, and disrupted opposition rallies.
The conventional wisdom these days is that autocrats are in the ascendancy and democratic leaders are in the decline. But when we looked back over the last year, we found that that view was actually too superficial, it's too simplistic.
In fact, there are encouraging signs of democratic uprisings, says Roth.
Popular protests for democracy against the autocrat. And we've seen this in a range of countries, in Thailand, Myanmar, Sudan, in Uganda, Nicaragua, Cuba, Poland, many parts of the world, these outpouring of supports for human rights, for democracy, and against autocratic rule.
But across the world, tens of thousands of people who have stood up for democracy and human rights have been jailed, beaten, or killed. In Russia, opposition leader Alexei Navalny is in prison after surviving a nerve agent attack. China has locked up thousands of pro-democracy activists.
To maintain power by force is a very short-term strategy. If you look at Myanmar, where the junta performed a coup almost a year ago, all they have is force. The entire population is against them.
The report says that in countries that still permit reasonably fair elections, opposition politicians and electorates are getting more sophisticated.
The emergence of broad political coalitions, alliances for democracy. And we saw these coalitions oust Prime Minister Babiš in the Czech Republic. They got rid of Netanyahu in Israel. They were really behind the coalition that chose Joe Biden to contest Donald Trump. And today in Hungary and in Turkey, Prime Minister Orban and President Erdogan are facing similar broad coalitions that are really putting their grasp on power in jeopardy.
Human Rights Watch says the leaders of democratic countries must end their support for autocratic regimes like Saudi Arabia or Egypt and do a better job of delivering for their own people in the face of huge problems like poverty, the COVID-19 pandemic, and climate change. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook are great places for you to read and see more on our top story and all the stories you hear on today's program. Check us out as well at voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Huge Tonga volcanic eruption caused significant damage. New Zealand begins vaccinating 5 to 11-year-olds. China's 2021 birth rates fell to lowest levels in 7 decades. UN experts say Taliban steadily erasing Afghan women from public life. Hindu monk jailed after calling for genocide of Muslims. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more can be found when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia. See us on Instagram and Twitter and VOAnews.com. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We have much more VOA Asia to come. Right now, research indicates the Omicron variant of the coronavirus spreads faster than its predecessors, and experts warn more mutations of the virus are likely. As Omicron infections surge in the United States, U.S. President Joe Biden promises his administration will purchase 1 billion COVID-19 tests and make available free to Americans high-quality masks. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has more.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, that's the CDC, recently released updated guidance for masks to protect against the COVID-19 disease. Seen here at the Protective Health Gear Production Facility in Paterson, New Jersey, is the N95, considered the premier respirator for protection against the infection.
The purpose of vaccines, the most important job of vaccines, is to save your life and keep you out of the hospital. And by that measure, these vaccines and boosters are working and working well. Now, you will hear, as many people have already heard, about people who have cases that are mild or asymptomatic, people who test positive despite being vaccinated or boosted. But keep in mind, what is often being prevented there is a more severe infection.
Murthy added that data shows strong efficacy for vaccination despite a roughly 20% chance for infection in those who are both vaccinated and have received a booster shot. The Biden administration has faced criticism for not acquiring enough masks and tests as Omicron spreads through the country.
When Omicron came, it created an extraordinary increase in demand. It's why the U.S., the U.K., and other countries found themselves without as much testing as they needed. But we are pulling out the stops on testing.
Dr. Murthy says the administration oversaw an eightfold increase in testing between December and January. Critics say it's simply not enough.
We've ordered too few testing kits, so our testing capacity has continued to lag behind each wave. It's too little and too late, but noteworthy for the next wave. We've ordered too few and too little treatments, and we don't have yet a global distribution and delivery plan for vaccines, so there's a lot that we can work on.
Former Trump Homeland Security Advisor Bossert adds that pandemic-weary Americans must remain vigilant.
Americans that are frustrated and giving up, I think they need to hear that a return to some rigor in our social distancing is necessary because our hospital beds, and more importantly, our hospital ICU beds, are filling up and in some states are completely full.
The World Health Organization recently reported 15 million new COVID-19 cases in 1 week, a 55% jump from earlier figures. The U.S. alone accounts for nearly 800,000 new infections each day. The CDC has yet to recommend nationwide usage of the N95 mask, but the Washington Post reports the agency is considering updated guidance. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
In just a minute on VOA Asia, we'll check on the COVID situation in Australia. Happening now in Asia, several Chinese cities went on high COVID-19 alert as the Lunar New Year holiday travel season began Monday, requiring travelers to report their trips days before their arrival. China is battling its highest case numbers since the pandemic began. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We hope you're having a great day today, and we're glad you're with us on VOA Asia. New South Wales, Australia's most populous state, has reported the most COVID-19 deaths in a single day since the start of the pandemic, as a wave of Omicron variant infections continues. However, the situation in Western Australian state is markedly different, as we hear from Phil Mercer in Melbourne.
Health authorities in New South Wales reported Friday the deaths of 29 people with COVID-19. It's the state's deadliest day since the pandemic began. In New South Wales, where many disease control restrictions have been lifted and more than 90% of the eligible population fully vaccinated, government data has shown there are more than 337,000 active coronavirus cases. In Western Australia, where the state government has imposed some of Australia's strictest internal border controls, there are just over 100 active cases. Travellers aren't allowed into Western Australia from so-called medium-high or extreme-risk jurisdictions without official permission. Those who are allowed in are subject to strict quarantine regulations. Western Australia has a population of about 2.6 million people, and strict COVID-19 border measures have been popular. Last year, State Premier Mark McGowan celebrated a landslide election win, analysts said was the result of his coronavirus strategy. Starting January 31, Western Australians will be required to show proof of COVID-19 vaccination to enter bars, cafes and restaurants and to visit hospitals. McGowan says the tough rules are necessary.
We know that unvaccinated people are well and truly enormously overrepresented when it comes to cases, serious illness, hospitalisation, intensive care presentations and death. Far too many resources are being used over East to care for individuals who would not take the basic steps to care for themselves. If you, for some reason, have not had your first dose yet, my advice would be to make a booking today. Otherwise, life is about to get very difficult for you.
Epidemiologist and World Health Organization advisor Mary Louise McClaws from the University of New South Wales says she believes Western Australia's strict measures have helped keep case numbers low.
It's very rare, and they've been enjoying not having to live with it. So I think they basically support the Premier greatly.
McClaw says the state government's approach in Western Australia has gone down well.
Certainly it is very, very popular because they basically haven't had any problems in Western Australia. I've been looking at the data and it's very low risk in Western Australia. The active number of cases yesterday in Western Australia per 100,000 people was 3. And then you know what it was in New South Wales? 3,742.
Authorities in Western Australia say the state will embark on its safe transition away from tough coronavirus regulations February 5, when interstate and international travel restrictions are to ease. For now at least, Western Australia has avoided the wave of Omicron variant cases sweeping other parts of the country. Geographic isolation is an advantage. Perth, the Western Australian state capital, is about 3,300 kilometres from Sydney. In Australia, the worst of the pandemic is concentrated in its most populous states in the southeast, New South Wales and Victoria. Australia has recorded almost 1.2 million COVID-19 cases since the start of the pandemic. 2,522 people have died. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Melbourne.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff said North Korea likely fired two short-range ballistic missiles Monday from an area near Pyongyang's international airport, but did not immediately say how far they flew. This would mark North Korea's fourth detected missile test in January. You'll find all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. The United States says it is committed to advancing the human rights of Tibetans and to helping Tibetans preserve their historical, linguistic, cultural, and religious heritage. Uzrazeya has recently assumed the post of Undersecretary of State for Civilian Security, Democracy, and Human Rights of the United States. On December 20th, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken designated her as U.S. Special Coordinator for Tibetan Issues. Undersecretary Zaya spoke in an exclusive interview with the Voice of America Tibetan Service about her task to restart long-stalled dialogue between the Dalai Lama and China.
This administration, I think, is taking a resolute and, you know, a very strategic approach, you know, with respect to China, you know, one in which our concerns about the very serious and severe human rights abuses perpetrated by the PRC against its own people remain at the forefront of our efforts. So certainly this decision to re-elevate the special coordinator role to the undersecretary level and, you know, my forthright engagement with international partners, with the U.S. Congress, directly with the CTA, reflects our deep concerns vis-a-vis Tibet. And these are concerns that Secretary Blinken and other senior officials have raised with our PRC counterparts. These are issues on which we seek to increase international coordination and solidarity. And it's a vital aspect of our approach to the PRC.
The Tibetans have a long history of looking to the United States for about its ideas and the values of freedom, rights, and democracy. What can you share with our audience inside Tibet and the Tibetan communities around the world about America's commitment to the issues the Tibetan people facing now and in the future?
We're raising international awareness of human rights abuses in Tibet through our public reporting, our annual human rights reports. They are the most widely read reports produced by the U.S. Department of State, through our public statements, through our public reporting, and through our international diplomacy and engagement. You know, we've sought to increase access to Tibet by applying visa restrictions on PRC authorities who are substantially involved in restricting this very access that our Congress has mandated us to advance. And we believe that it is critical to support Tibetan efforts to shine a light on what is happening on the ground and to provide support ultimately to those facing severe repression.
Under Secretary of State Uzra Zeya, the U.S. Special Coordinator for Tibetan Issues, in an excerpt of her conversation with VOA's Tibetan service. Making headlines in Asia, hundreds of migrant workers in Taiwan demonstrated in downtown Taipei for better conditions and freedom to change employers. Government statistics say 680,000 migrant workers live in Taiwan, about 30% of whom are not protected by labor laws. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the recent holidays highlighted some interesting regional cuisine trends in parts of Asia, while a Vietnamese designer finds some new fans. It's all a part of this week's VOA Asia Business Scene with Chris Cascajo.
Forget turkey stuffing and Brussels sprouts. In Japan, the most popular food to eat at Christmas time is an American fast food favorite, KFC. December 25th is not a public holiday in Japan, but extravagant decorations, festive shop displays, and young couples on Christmas dates are a common sight. So too are long lines outside the country's 1,138 branches of KFC, which since arriving in Japan in the 1970s, has marketed itself as a traditional American food to eat during the holidays. Restaurateur Hiroshi Samiya.
I don't think there's any deep meaning to it. Personally, I already liked KFC before. When I saw the Christmas campaign, I thought I would come because you could only eat this kind of chicken during this specific time.
Christmas is so lucrative for the company in Japan that it starts preparing for each holiday season more than a year in advance and offers special limited edition items like premium roast chicken. Customers can reserve a slot in advance to buy their chicken, something KFC is encouraging this year to spread out order times and lower the risk of COVID-19 infection at its stores. Student Tomohiro Ogawa.
I wouldn't say it's something really important, but rather that if you don't eat KFC chicken, I don't feel the Christmas spirit.
When billionaire singer Rihanna posed for an ad campaign by luxury shoemaker Manolo Blahnik, she also made a star out of the little-known Vietnamese designer who made the oversized white shirt she posed in. For more than two decades, Win Cong Tri has been crafting chic, structured evening wear made of Vietnamese spun silk, organza, or taffeta. Despite some success at home, his designs had gained less traction elsewhere. Some of his collections were dreamt up during flights over the rice fields of his homeland. Another was influenced by the all-women militias of the Vietnam War. Vietnamese fashion designer Cong Tri.
I love the image of Vietnamese female militias, their resilience and strength. When they were at home, they worked in the rice fields, taking care of their families. But on the battlefields, they became the militias. They were such strong women.
One of eight siblings, Cong Tri was born in the central coast city of Da Nang in 1978, just 3 years after the war with the U.S. ended. With three stores in the country's business capital, a judging role on the local version of reality TV show Project Runway, and growing international interest, Cong Tri is a firm believer Vietnam has more to offer fashion beyond its role of factory workhorse. Cong Tri now has a staff of more than 150 people and is hopeful his success can guide a new generation of talent. For Business Scene, I'm Chris Cascajo.
We're always fascinated by the newest in technology. And while this year's Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada was smaller this year because of COVID, as usual, the event drew companies that are dreaming big. Maria Pruz was among the journalists covering CES 2022, which ended January 8th, and has this report narrated by Anna Rice.
One of the most anticipated tech events of the year, CES, or Consumer Electronics Show 2022, took place in Las Vegas in early January. Over 2,000 participants came to the city to showcase their technological achievements.
Everybody from LG, Samsung, Sony.
But Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Lenovo, General Motors, and some other giants decided it was unsafe to show up. Yet their spots were taken by small startups. A lot of attention was focused this year on the company called Zero-G, whose technology allows people to feel zero gravity. A modified Boeing 727 flies at some 6 kilometers above the ground on special trajectories, allowing its passengers to float inside the cabin. Another important trend that has not changed over the past few years is automation and artificial intelligence, especially in the auto industry.
We have BMW, we have Amazon, we have new companies like a company called Too Simple who is doing self-driving freight trucks.
A number of companies at the expo presented innovations designed to help people simplify their lives and stay healthy.
Obviously, digital health has been a tremendous growth area, especially in the last 2 years with the pandemic, with telemedicine and wearables and ways that people can better monitor themselves.
The company called Esper Bionics, for example, produces high-tech prostheses. Some of the small startups at the expo this year offered high-tech solutions to environmental problems. One such example is EFA, a Ukrainian company that has for the last few years been producing unique disposable paper toothbrushes that are 100% recyclable.
We make disposable products that are environmentally friendly. Our first products were a disposable and 100% recyclable toothbrush and paper razor. Here at CES, we want to meet new clients and make sure our startup is known all around the world.
And this company, Never Dark, allows users to create a country house feel without leaving their apartment, thanks to their innovation, biofireplaces that produce no smoke but have real flames.
We've come to Las Vegas to present our product, a smart fireplace with a real flame that can be installed inside apartments. We're ready to light our fire and introduce it to America.
Usually over 170,000 people attend the CES expos. But this year, because of the pandemic, just over 40,000 showed up. But while the crowd was smaller, the ideas were just as big as always. For Maria Pruz and Julie Tabo in Washington and Las Vegas, Anna Rice, VOA News.
That's our program for today. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. We're online. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We thank our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jessica Stone. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.